I talked to Nancy Beckman today. I hope she got a great story. I hope she shares it Sunday. I'm not going to take the glory away from her if she does, but if she doesn't, I'll put her on the spot and ask her to do it. But it's just amazing, and I said this Sunday, how many times through the course of a week I hear stories about what's happening in people's lives. It is amazing. There's probably not a day goes by that, you know, that I don't hear from someone or I talk to someone, and it's just, you know, what's happening around here is not beyond belief, but it's certainly beyond our control, which I like. So anyway, you do not have notes tonight because they're laying on my desk at home. I do not have notes tonight because they're laying on my desk at home.
Service is over.
What?
Service is over.
I don't think so.
No, because he is the king of ad lib.
Let's pray before we start.
Pray for Larry, yes, please.
That never hurts anything. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day, and thankful, Father, for your blessings in our lives. Thankful, Father, for the stories that we hear of how you're working in people's lives. So, Lord, we just come to you tonight and just want to say thank you and let you know that you are so special to us as we know we are special to you. So, Father, just bless us tonight. Bless the study. This is a difficult passage for a lot of people, but not for your people. So, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How do we decide to start this, Brandon?
I think we just kind of...
You're just kind of starting it?
Like never before.
ending is very confusing.
I was following your lead.
I wasn't.
That's why I jumped in.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, capo three.
That's why I don't follow directions very well.
When I'm leading, everybody follows me. When I mess up, everybody messes up. I was certainly able to follow somebody else.
Well, how come when I mess up, not everybody follows me? I'm just saying.
Because you're hardly on camera.
I'm off the camera. That's right. I am off the camera. Actually, I'm not standing.
All we see is the top of your sunglasses. We see sunglasses.
Yeah, cutting it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there it is. Oh, you missed that one.
How about hand thing?
Service, so I have to make sure she's here. I know you know this one. Oh, capo two, Brandon.
Yeah, sweet hour.
Sweet Hour of Prayer and Change, where we fit in perfect with Sunday's message. And I didn't even look at, I shouldn't admit this, but you know, I didn't even look at the songs again. I just did the message. So.
Those are actually were the songs that were up that you had put together 3 months ago? Or
3 months ago. And they're still perfect. So, well, as I do apologize for not having notes, but I'll bring them Sunday. You can pick them up Sunday. But we're looking at the 8th chapter, and this is probably when the Lord opens the 7th seal is the end of the end. That's going to take place during the last half of the tribulation, this one seal. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "When he opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." And you think about that, and you think silence in heaven, and you think, why? What would be the reason for that? And the reason for that is because all of the heavenly creatures and all the heavenly beings are in awe of what is about to happen, and they're not going to experience it, but they are just amazed when they see the things that are going to take place when this 7th seal is open. And verse 2 says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." And so if you can picture this, we have the altar, golden altar sitting in front of the throne of God. And this censer is in essence like a pan that's full of the hot coals of incense. And they're being lifted up from the saints that have died. And we talked about this before in some earlier scriptures about the saints that were under the altar. And that's the significance of this, that this is, they're showing this is going to happen for the last time, that this pan or this censer of the coals of incense are going to be raised up. And as we said, what that incense is like the prayers that the people who have been martyred are praying. And so this is the last time that will happen. And verse 4 says, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake." And I think probably everyone, and we're any Christian is aware that God is going to destroy the earth by fire the second time. He said he would never destroy it by a flood again, but this time it's going to be by fire. And there's a lot of people trying to figure out, well, how's that going to happen? Is it going to be like a nuclear war? Is it going to be just someone just starting this? I mean, we could see it, and you could imagine possibly with ISIS around the world and where they're at and where the nations that they've infiltrated. You could possibly imagine it's going to be there, or it could be fire from heaven. And I have a feeling it's going to be fire from heaven, because it's going to consume the whole world at the same time. And there's not going to, you know, and when we talk about things in here, and I think sometimes people get, I think sometimes people get the idea, well, it's just going to be America. But these things are going to happen worldwide. And I thought about this, and as we look back over the previous seals that were opened, and the devastation and the famine that we see in Africa and we see in some of those nations, people dying on a daily basis, that's nothing compared to what we're going to see here. And it's amazing, and I think it's important that we want to try to feed people and take care of them. But when we see this coming along, and we talked about famine, and we talked about persecution, we talked about people killing each other, we talked about the limited amount of food a couple weeks ago, about the barley that they had, and because they were using that because it was cheaper than wheat, and you know, all of those things. And this famine is going to be so intense that I don't think that we can really imagine. And I think you can look at some of these African countries and imagine that 100, 500, 1,000 fold. And that doesn't even meet it when you really stop and think about it. And so the earthquakes, the lightnings, and everything that's going to take place, when this happens, there's going to be volcanic reaction to this. And what's going to happen is during these volcanoes is all of the ash and everything from these volcanoes is going up into the air. It's also going to create, and one of the writers that I read said that it's going to create a blood-like look of the rain and the hail coming down at the same time. And so when you stop and think about that, and one of the things we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about the pre and the mid and the post-tribulation, and just give you some idea of what that is, and I've got some information we're gonna pass out and talk about that, because there's so many different beliefs, and so many different people believe one thing, and somebody else believes something else. And I've told you, I do not believe that the church will be here during this 3.5-year period. Verse 6 says, "So the angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." And so these are the seven angels that are standing at the altar with trumpets to sound. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And that's the idea, when there's hail and the ash from the volcanoes mingled, it gave it a blood-like look, and it was thrown to earth. And some people have said, well, it could be a meteor. That was one of the things that one writer said. It's a possibility it could be a gigantic meteor. But that would take a pretty good-sized meteor to affect the whole earth. So it kind of leads me to believe that the volcanoes and the earthquakes across the world are what's going to create this cataclysmic event. And a third of the trees were burned up. And that's bad enough. When you stop and think about it, again, this is worldwide, but the rest of the verse says, and all green grass was burned. How hard is it to burn green grass? I mean, I've seen people at the campground where we camp, and probably Sandy's seen it too, try to burn green wood. And it just doesn't work too well. And I've seen people try to burn it throwing gasoline on it. Cindy and I were camping one time up in St. Paul, Indiana, and all of a sudden we heard this explosion, and this thing went flying up in the air, a big container, plastic container, probably a five-gallon container. We thought, you know, we had no idea what it was. And so some guy's walking down from that way the next morning, and Cindy asked him, said, "What was that?" And he said, "Oh, I make my own biodiesel." And he was pouring it on the fire. And it's lucky it didn't burn him. It's lucky it didn't explode. And so she called him and says, "Oh, you're like a human torch." And it's like, okay, Cindy, that's enough. But it's what he was trying to start his fire with. And so I've seen people do it with gasoline. I've seen people do it with charcoal lighter. And it just doesn't work. But to think about, a third of the trees are burned up, and all the grass, all the green grass, will be burned. It's amazing. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And the reference here is that because of this fallen hail and everything, then the ash had poisoned the water. And there's a verse here that talks about, and it's on down, about wormwood and how that, you know, can lead to alcoholism, which literally leads to death. And they're talking in here in this verse about the third of the sea became blood. And as a result of this cataclysmic event that happened with the hail and with the ash intermixing, what it did is it turned the sea into blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, this is worldwide, so again, when we stop and think about that, that is a lot of that's a lot of sea life, and that's a lot of ships. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. And that's what worm that wood does, is it makes it, it makes the, huh? Yeah, help me with this one, Linda. but that's what it does, is it makes the water bitter. And what this particular type of wood will do, as I said earlier, leads to drunkenness. And then it leads literally to death. And then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so a third of them darkened. In other words, a third of the light on the earth is going to come to an end when the fourth angel sounds his trumpet. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of three angels who are about to sound." And this woe, woe, woe is a warning. And that's why when it says to the inhabitants of the earth, makes me believe that the church is going to be gone. Because there would be no reason, you know, for God to go, for God's people to go through this 3.5 years of tribulation. That's just my thought. You know, there's multiple different thoughts on it. We'll go through some of those next week. But we'll talk about the, well, let's just take a look at that part of chapter 9. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." There's a reference in Matthew that Matthew says that he was given the keys. We are given the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever with those keys that we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And so that's a lot of times when I pray for people, I will bind things in their life that are affecting them and that are pulling them away from walking, as the old term goes, a straight and narrow path. Because a lot of times people don't understand that, and I don't think people understand that it is a demonic force that is pulling them. And if we don't bind it, and as the Bible says, you know, we need to bind that. We need to loose the Holy Spirit in people's lives also. But the Bible also says that if you do not fill that void with something good, that demon will return. And so that's why it's so important that when we talk to people and we share with them and we step out of our comfort zone, maybe we step into the water. And I can't get that phrase out of my mind, because that's what we're doing when we talk to people. And let them know that there's, you know, there some things they can control. But if a demon's got a hold of you with heroin, you can't hardly control that. Because the first time you do it, it's got a hold on you. And it will literally consume a person, and it consume a person's life. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit." And that's the pit he's talking about is hell. "Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power." So what he's saying is that out of that pit, when it's opened with this key, that locusts are going to come out of there, and they're not going to be locusts, but what they're going to do is destroy as scorpions. We go back to what we've referred to before about people being killed and people hiding. And so anyway, what we're going to see here is we're going to see these locusts or scorpions that they're going to become kill people. "They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it." Isn't that amazing? You want to die, but you can't, because the scorpions are going to torment you. "In those days, they will desire to die, and death will flee from them." Verse 7. "The shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle." That is a pretty doggone big locust. "And on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and were stings in their tails. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name was Apollyon. One woe is past, but still two more are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. 200 million scorpions. Who were dressed with the gold crown and that breastplate that they talked about. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. But these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Or by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. So we see this. We see these animals here that we see are the ones that are breathing this, that are killing mankind. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. And I thought that was interesting. It says, for their power is in their mouth. And how, you know, and I mean, we don't have power in our tail, but how often do we stop and think after we've said something that I wish I wouldn't have said that? And I said something today and Cindy said, "Oh, Larry, okay. You could be right. I think you're wrong, but you could be right." But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works in their hand. But remember, we go back to what we said a couple weeks ago about they acknowledged that this was God that was bringing this on. But verse 20 here says, they did not repent the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear, nor walk. And one of the things last Sunday, and it was in 1 Kings, and we didn't talk about it, I've talked about it before, was the sacrifice that Elijah made in comparison to the sacrifice that Baal, the worshipers of Baal and the priests and prophets of Baal tried to do when they were up on the mountain, and Baal had brought 450 prophets. And they tried to make a sacrifice to Baal and nothing happened. And they cut themselves and everything to try to get fire to come out of this wood to consume the animal that they had cut up. And yet, Elijah, and I love this part of it because I know there's order in how God wants to do things. It's just not, you know, flippant way of doing things. But I love the way it said that he laid the wood on there in order. And then he laid the animal on there. Then he cut a trench around it. And then he poured the water over the altar till it filled the trench. And then he prayed. And the sacrifice was consumed. Then he killed the 450 prophets of Baal. Took them down the river and killed them. Huh?
Even
Right. And the Old Testament, I mean, it is so rich in history. It's so rich in God of what he's done. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their theft. And I guess we think today, and we talk about today about what people, why, you know, people don't repent and people are doing things. And here's firsthand. You couldn't see it any clearer. And it's no different here than what, you know, we might anticipate here. So it's amazing, it's frightening, but I ain't gonna be there. But it's gonna be a tough thing. We're going to do communion. I'm going to share a communion table. But I'd like to pray first. As you probably saw, if you're on the prayer chain or if you're friends with Alice and Cecil, her 8-year-old nephew, and we talked a little bit about him and what he's going through. They're not really sure if it's cancer. Some doctors say it is. Some doctors say it's not. She had asked us to pray Monday. And so anyway, I just think tonight it's just time to thank God for healing. Greg gave her a prayer to pray. It's the same prayer that he prayed for Jimmy Marks. And we saw him walk in here. So, what God's doing here is just amazing. And I like it. I like to be part of it. So, any other prayer requests?
Okay, that's a good sign.
There's some movement. Yeah. Bob. We had prayed for, I sent Sandy a picture. Cindy had actually mentioned a friend of hers, friend of ours, but Pat, who had cancer and went through some double mastectomy, actually, and she cancer-free now. But her and her husband, Kim, are first-time grandparents. And boy. Victor John, Yiling, his wife, is, I believe she's Chinese. So it's Victor John Kenming, Khemming, Drumbetta. So, but he's a cute little guy, but, you know, Sandy's response was, you know, I'm glad she was able to see him. You know, I don't think about that a lot of times, you know, so. But they're all doing well. Including Pat. Karen. Karen?
Very sad.
It is. Well, congratulations for being smart enough to take that class. We'll add you to the prayer chain. Pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you hear our prayer. And we're so thankful that you love to hear us pray. And we know that we can't do anything without you, even though sometimes we think we're just pretty big and pretty good. But we're not. We're just weak human beings that need a God and need to listen to a God who is so interested in our welfare and so interested in giving us peace. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, with these requests that were shared tonight, we just pray, Father, that you reach down and touch people's lives. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity Monday to pray for Allison's nephew. And so tonight, Father, we just thank you for hearing that prayer. Thank you for touching his life. Thank you for making him whole again. And not just Band-Aid fix, but thankful for a miraculous touch that brought about his healing and his health. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. And Lord, we're thankful for Bob and the testimony of his wife that he's still alive. Thankful, Father, for that. But we know that being alive and being in pain is one thing, but being alive and being out of pain, so much better. And that's what you're all about. So Father, we just pray that you just help him be encouraged, be faithful, stay in touch with you, and thank you for what you've done with the expectation of what you will do, because it's not over until you're finished with your work in his life. And Lord, we're thankful for the life that and the touch that Debbie mentioned about her friend. And we know, Father, that if you can do one thing with cancer, you can do many things. And taking a lump away is no different to you than touching other parts of our body and removing that cancer and making us whole again. So, Father, we ask you for that. And, Father, we pray that Linda's friend will gain the spirit of understanding. In fact, Father, right now we just loose that spirit of understanding in her mind and in her heart. And Lord, we bind those forces that are pulling her away and pulling her from that understanding that you have for her life and for what you want in her life. We just believe, Father, in that whole binding and loosing. So, Father, we bind that spirit of misunderstanding and loose the spirit of understanding in her mind tonight. And Lord, we pray for Katie. Pray, Father, for Karen. And just ask, Father, that you continue to bless her. Father, continue to touch her life. No. How important children are to you, how important children are to us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And, Father, the class that Melody mentioned, we just pray that you give her wisdom, knowledge, and some peace and comfort. And if there's any anxiety, we just ask you to remove that. And, Lord, you are the giver of knowledge, the one that teaches us and shows us everything. So, Father, we're believing tonight, in Jesus' name, that Melody will successfully complete this course, that she will gain knowledge and gain understanding, and that she'll get an A in a good life. We believe that. And so, Lord, we commit that to you. And Lord, we pray for Debbie's friend, and we pray, Father, that you will find employment for her, make it available in West Virginia, and help her to be so in awe of what you're doing that it'll strengthen her faith beyond what she could ever imagine. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share this communion table. And we thank you for what it means to us in that you took your bread that you had at that table that night. And you shared with your followers, with your disciples there, that you were about to die. And you explained to them that that bread symbolizes your body. And symbolizes the fact that your body is broken and your body is torn apart for them. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for giving us life and giving us that freedom and that peace because of what you went through. And once you did that, then you took the cup and you said to them, "This is my body. It's broken for you. And the blood that is represented in this cup is my blood that was shed for you." And so, Father, as we share this cup and this bread tonight, we pray, Father, that you will bless this time together. We pray, Father, that if there are pains, issues, things that are hurting people, that as a result of this time of communion at your table, that you will heal those, that you will bring about peace, freedom, and joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I move. I will follow. Let you know I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I move. I will follow.
She's not even listening, so I won't even bother talking. Okay.
She does that a lot.
Yeah, I know. Spirit song. You guys know this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Take the cable off the drum, will you?
Give him all.